Hey, movie fans, Dimitri Panos here for Popcorn Talks, Anatomy of a Movie, where we are going to see if the devil inside Alita Battle Angel is worth fighting for. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Anatomy of a Movie.
Welcome back, everybody, to another Anatomy of a Movie, where today we are going to break down the motion capture spectacular spectacle Alita Battle Angel. My name is Dimitri Panos, here along with the lovely panel, starting from our far, far right. Marissa, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marissa Sorfi.
Go ahead and say we're going in right.
Hey everyone, I am Mina Wahab, super stoked to be here talking about Alita.
And yes, we are Anatomy of a Movie. For those of you who are joining us, you already know that we're very spoiler rich. We are going to talk about plot points. If you have yet to see Alita Battle Angel, you've had a week already, so what the hell? Why haven't you? So you can be part of the conversation. But if you haven't, I just give the warning that we are going to give away plot points. You're more than welcome to stay to watch the show, to listen to the show.
But I think the main question is, rushing to go see a James Cameron written film?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, well, hopefully you've seen it already. If you haven't, you're welcome to stay. But just know that, we're going to give away various plot points so that when you do go see the movie, you'll already know that it's coming. And what's the fun of that? So you can watch the movie, then come back because we are up for all of time.
Yep.
We're in the ether.
Perpetuity.
So, perpetuity.
That's our favorite word.
So as we start off with every show, those of you who are familiar, we always start off with opinion, starting with Marissa.
Yes. All right. So I went into this film not really knowing the story or the lore behind it, but I knew James Cameron was attached to it, and in that way, and Robert Rodriguez. So I went in it with just like whatever happens, happens. And holy crap, the action was like so well done. Every scene was just like more action and like it better itself with every action sequence. But the storyline and some things, like really, a lot of plot points, a lot of plot holes, in my opinion. Action, great. Visuals, great. Story could have been stronger, but we'll get into it. But overall, I really did enjoy it.
Yes, I would agree with the part that overall, Alita Battle Angel, super entertaining. Went to go see it. I was just like, okay, this is fun. What's this girl's story? Why does she have ginormous eyes when no one else in the movie does? What's going on here? Why is Christoph Waltz in this movie? Okay, interesting cast. And then I was engaged. I was hooked. And then you keep watching, expecting something to happen. And it's just battle scene after battle scene after battle scene. I mean, she is the battle angel.
Yeah.
A little excessive with the action. And then towards the end, they introduce like 10 other plot points, and I'm like, what are you doing? You had a solid movie from the beginning, it was going somewhere, and then you're like, you know what? Whatever. Like, let's just forget about everything.
I agree. I think it was solid the first two acts, and then the third act, they introduced too many storylines that nothing felt completed after. Like,
not make sense.
It was unsatisfactory in the fact that it didn't wrap itself up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that in a sec, too. Because, well, actually, yeah, I thought Alita, on a whole, I thought Alita Battle Angel, it was a spectacular spectacle meant to be seen on a big screen. I don't know where you saw it. I can tell you this. I saw it at a Dolby Theater at Century City, AMC. And good God, it was gorgeous.
Right. I saw it Dolby 3D.
Yeah.
And it was really ridiculous.
Yes, 3D. It was
ridiculous. Really cool.
I'm telling you, again,
it's an experience.
If you're watching us and you haven't seen it, or if you are watching us, you have seen the movie, but you didn't see it in 3D. I'm a proponent of 3D. I'm glad it's not being overused as it used to be, but this is a movie in which the levels and layers and the environments were amazing. It didn't get blurry. It was perhaps, since like Avatar, the best use of 3D I have seen in a theater. And it does show some amazing set pieces. And I really did think that it elevated motion performance or motion capture performance to a brand new level. Yet, as you said, I agree. The movie's not without its flaws. For me, it had a wonky, really kind of unnecessary romance. I felt that the familiar post-apocalyptic setting, like we've seen a lot of it before, albeit it looked under a new skin. And you're right. For me, it presumed a sequel. It made a fatal flaw. Mm-hmm. Much like movies like The Golden Compass. Like, it didn't end. And it had what I call the Glass effect. We talked about this at Glass, where it set something up, and it said something about, at the very beginning of the movie, they talk about this Elysium, this floating city. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, floating city. I basically thought it was Elysium. It's actually a zone.
So we got this floating city. Oh, I want to get to floating city. I want to get to floating city. You think you're going to get to floating city. You never get to floating city.
We never freaking see it.
We get and, Edward Norton
yeah,
out and, of the blue.
Which is
yeah,
fine.
But even him, like, we never see the background. We only see it, like, looking up, but we never actually get any freaking shot, clean shot.
Right. That, to me, was a letdown. Yeah. You know, and with that said, though, look, this movie is never dull. It delivers thrilling action pieces, and it has some heart. And the heart comes from Rosa Salazar, and I think her relationship with Christoph Waltz. I think that's the relationship that...
That matters.
Mm-hmm. In the movie. The other kid, he was good. They didn't need to do a romance with him. He could have just been a really good friend. But the relationship that matters is the father-daughter type of relationship. And both of them together really are fantastic. And Rosa Salazar sells Alita, for me anyways. As soon as she became aware and awake, I was all in. I was like, you did it. She did it. I believe in you. Yeah. So that's where the movie worked for me. So it's based off a manga comic series, which I was not aware of. Manga. I don't read those.
Sorry, I'm Asian. I should know this. But I don't read mangas.
We don't stereotype.
I know. I try not to stereotype myself. I don't.
I really think that what's really fascinating to me about this movie is its genesis, because it was, I believe it was Guillermo del Toro who brought it to James Cameron years ago. So you should read this. Like, years ago.
This has been a long time coming.
Are we going to wait another 20 years for the sequel?
We'll talk about it.
Maybe the technology will improve in 20 years.
But, you know, I always love those kinds of stories. And I love it when brilliant creative types talk with one another and say, hey, I think this is a project that you might like, or take a read of this or something. And I love that. And, you know, James Cameron, listen, it has James Cameron fingerprints all over this. Like, this is something that he would have, that he might have at one point even wanted to have direct. This is in his wheelhouse. He
wanted to direct. Yeah. He took a step back, though.
Yeah, which...
Because he was given the option Avatar or this. Like, well, Avatar was my baby, so I'm going to go with Avatar.
I got to go with my baby, and I understand. But again, it's in his wheelhouse. Strong female protagonist. Like, a great female protagonist when you look at her. She really becomes into herself, and it is a journey of discovery, right? Of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And these are all parts, you know, that's one fact. Like, anything, say what you will about James Cameron, he has his lovers and haters. I happen to be on the side of which I love the guy. He is a true genius. I mean, he is on the Oceanographic Board panel as well as, like, NASA. Right. He's not knocking him because of his directing ability. No, or actually in what he's done for women characters, too. Like, when you look at Sarah Connor, which, look what he's done with Ripley. You know, he really does.
Like, even respect, the Abyss.
Right. He respects strong women characters throughout his career. So you can see how he could gravitate towards technology and to Alita Battle Angel. Robert Rodriguez handing over the reins. At first, I had no idea. This is Mr. Indie King of action movies, right? Never had seen a movie with this much money behind it, which is like $170 million.
Yeah, for the production.
For the production.
He's come a long way from El Mariachi.
Well, hasn't he, though? And yeah. Would you agree with me that this is probably his most accomplished film? Like this is
well,
a
rounded film, well, that's like, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he put together something that really I was quite astounded because some people fear the budget. James Wan talked about in working on that Fast and Furious movie, how different it was from working on like the Conjuring films where he had less of he took this on fearlessly. And I really think he succeeded for the most part. The narrative things we'll get into aside from set pieces to the character of Alita. Wow. We did a great job.
They didn't need $200 million for it over the course of 20 years, though. I feel like they could have easily cut down the budget, invested more time into building a stronger script and a stronger story, because I felt, even though I did enjoy this movie, there was a huge emphasis on visuals. Like, ooh, look at her eyes. Ooh, look at this cool robot arm. Oh, look at this roller derby, whatever race, and look at this, Water and look ball. At that, and look at this. So it was like just like a lot of eye candy, a lot of like, ooh, this is so beautiful and visually stunning.
Do you
but
say
what
the
about
same,
the story?
Do you say the same about superhero movies?
About them being as visually stunning?
Or like the story the should budgets. Be stronger?
The budgets. Mm. The budgets are right up around there. Like, yeah, like again, sure. This $170 million, it's a lot of spandulix there. I mean, we're talking... Right. A lot
but
of cheddar, but
over the course
thing
of 20
that
years.
This movie like really did and like it dug itself a hole is that there's so the way that the story was played out, they're so dependent on a sequel. Like
yes.
They made this biggest... film hoping and depending on a sequel to That's... follow it up. And I'm like, no, for a very first movie, it's like make it. Self,
so it stands alone.
Yeah, it'll like make it self-contained.
Yeah, Marissa, I could not agree with you more. You should never, ever set out to make a first movie. Make your first movie. Make it a beginning, a middle, and an end. If it does well, then you can work on your sequel. But never assume. Yeah. Never leave an audience hanging that much on your first movie. Because... Mm-hmm. You're doomed. Like there is
it's
every
overly ambitious.
Well, it is overly ambitious, and this
also,
industry is stacked against you.
You also haven't built up that like following of oh, are people going to be invested in this? It's not like you already have a trial run for one of them, so you're banking on the people who are already lovers of the manga to go and see the second one, which isn't going to be a huge demographic.
No,
this is definitely I feel more of a niche audience, but movies like this do really well internationally.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think...
Yeah, I can't wait to see what it does in China.
Yeah.
It just opened.
Yeah,
well, it just opened to 20 million.
To have, you know,
I don't know
like more China numbers afterwards.
It could, yeah. You never know. China is really a weird... It's a weird territory as far as... Well, it's a very interesting territory. I don't want to call it weird. It's just what the movie-going audiences there get drawn to, what ends up being... a hit, and sometimes what you think is going to be a hit doesn't hit, and what you never know ends up doing huge.
Right, and like China's very unpredictable because even
it's
like
unpredictable.
For like say an example, the movie The Great Wall or like the wall that came out 2-3 years ago it bombed in America, but it was huge in China, like literally the biggest budgeted Chinese American film, and it made the most money that year in China.
Yeah, and we talked
like,
about that
America,
movie here.
We're like, sure, and we'll see it if we want.
And I'm not sure. I don't know if this. I don't think this
China's
had
very
Chinese money into it, but no different
the
wall,
great wall.
The Great Wall. but hey,
the Great Wall.
A for effort, buddy.
Thanks,
A for
Josh.
Effort. That's awesome, right, Josh? This is very, very, look, Alita is very ambitious. And if anything to me, what it did do really well, and I said it in my review, is that it really did push the performance capture to a new level. Listen, Andy Serkis is the godfather of motion capture, right? no one can dispute that. Mm-hmm. I think later on down in his career, he's going to get some semblance of an award for this. And when you look at what he's accomplished with Caesar and the Planet of the Apes movies, it's all motion performance capture. Mm-hmm. And if you don't buy into Caesar, you don't buy into the movies. And they made three of them, and they were each one got better. We reviewed them here.
Even Lord of the Rings and Gollum is an iconic character.
No, iconic, but what I'm saying, like, Caesar took front and center. And if you don't buy it, if you think it's cheesy or it doesn't work, movies don't work. I feel the same thing with Alita. If Alita doesn't work, if you think she looks cheesy or fake, and if Rosa Salazar does not perform her well, movie fails within the first 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You just don't buy it. But from the moment she awakens to the time she's in that bar fight, and the screening that I saw it at, the screening that I got to watch, there was a special afterwards where they did some behind the scenes, and it was amazing. Like, she did a lot of her own stunts. The fighting that you see in that bar scene, mm-hmm. she's doing it. And I'm like, wow, she's quite amazing. So everything really rests on Rosa Salazar and Alita's motion performance, because to me, she really did give that character heart, much like Andy Serkis gives Caesar heart that makes you want to follow it, regardless of the flaws that we talked about. Right. And there are a few. And again, Marissa, you're killing me because you had this nitpick that just before we started the movie, and I want to get into it now. I'm not patient anymore.
It's not about the eyes, honestly. It's the whole character development of Alita. They said she's all cyborg, but the only human thing about her is she has a human brain. Like, very human brain. I'm like, okay, believable. Totally get it. And then, but then when her character is holding her breath for forever, when it goes down into the water and into the ship and she gets her berserker body and whatnot, and she's holding her breath for that long, I'm just thinking, human brain still needs oxygen.
Oh.
Okay.
And like, that's the only human thing about her. Human brain still needs oxygen.
Okay.
So that was my nitpick.
I didn't think about that.
Her body stores
it? Like, there's even a line, like, how long can she hold her breath? I'm like, I don't know, but she's got to breathe. If she has a human brain, the human brain needs oxygen.
She can store? She can store oxygen? I don't know, but it's a good nitpick. I get it.
I don't know. But it's that's funny. The only humanity thing, physical, biological human thing of her. The human brain needs oxygen.
I think the reason they said that was to demonstrate also human emotion by saying human brain. Like, the fact that it kind of foreshadows this love she has for this guy, which honestly, I didn't like the romance plot line. I was like, this guy, this kid, like, who does X, Y, and Z, and you're trying to make him a redeemable character. I don't know. I just wasn't sold on it. I wasn't sad when,
I knew he
spoiler
was
alert,
die.
When he dies. Yeah. Wasn't sad. Was like, oh well, whatever. See ya. Bye, buddy. See you in the sequel.
Yeah.
You're going to go back to Cyborg.
For me, it was just, look, for me, the romantic in me, I was like, when she literally gave him her heart,
mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit, that's a gesture. I wished, however, that I could have taken the relationship more seriously. Like, I wished after that, like, because it really was wonky. It's like, yeah, he does these bad things. He's selling cyborg parts to Vector. We're going to talk about him. We'll talk about performances here.
What they call him, a cyberjacker?
A cyberjacker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the conduit to... Zalem. It was just wonky, and to me, it just didn't need to be in this movie necessarily. I get it if you want to develop it in future movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'd have rather just stick with what's working, and they should have known what's really working is Christoph Waltz's performance with Rosa Salazar.
Yeah.
Because that worked.
It was like a Geppetto Pinocchio relationship.
And I bought it. I really bought it. And yeah. I really love the twist that he too is a bounty hunter. And I love that aspect.
Unassuming. Like,
but he tries to save them.
Yeah, well, he's it's kind trying of, well, to help him out.
Both.
But yeah, I want these parts, but I'm trying to find the people who are killing and doing this and cyberjacking these people. Mm-hmm. So but I really liked his character, Dr. Ito. Yeah, he was good.
It was believable. The chemistry was also believable between the two of them. And then Jennifer Connelly randomly comes in and is like, oh, you're my ex-husband. You did this.
I like seeing Jennifer Connelly.
Why?
Woman looks amazing. Like she does not age
seriously?
One day.
She
like,
is so striking.
I wish I had her
jeans. She was very striking.
Yeah, very striking.
In this movie. You know, from her, the way she was costumed. Yeah, she was very striking.
And you don't, like, and she's very mysterious too, because, like, you don't know if you can trust her or if you're supposed to like her because she used to be married to Ito.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they used to be parents to unfortunate Alita who got killed. So, like, you're not sure if you're supposed to like her or not. Because mm-hmm. even at the end when she helps, quote-unquote, Hugo, and, like, with the whole slicing of the head and stuff, I'm like, but are we supposed to like you now? Because you did something good for us or not?
Right. I mean, she was definitely motivated by getting up to Xalem.
Right. Yeah.
And again, that's another plot point in the movie. Like, everybody wants to go to Xalem.
Why?
And we never got to see, like,
why? That's so annoying.
Yeah.
It felt like the Wizard of Oz. It felt like everyone wanted to go see the Wizard of Oz, and then you don't know who the puppet master is. And, oh, it's Edward Norton.
Again,
well, like, that's the whole thing with Wizard of Oz. Like, the whole trip is to get to Emerald City, and we see Emerald City, and to see the wizard, we see the wizard, and even in Tomorrowland, like that movie.
Right.
The whole trip, it was to go see Tomorrowland. Granted, we don't spend a lot of Tomorrowland, but at least
but you
we
see
saw
Tomorrowland.
It.
Yeah.
We saw it for 2 minutes, but like, I'll take it.
Yeah,
but
do you want to see the sequel,
this,
though?
I wanted,
are you frustrated enough where you want to see the sequel, or are you so turned off that you're like, you know what, forget about the sequel?
Well, no, I mean, if we can, since we brought it up, we can talk sequel and whatnot. Listen, if Disney were to make a sequel, because sadly this is going to be one of 20th Century Fox's last movies.
25th Century.
20th yeah. Century Fox.
26th century.
Which was nice, a nice play, but sadly this is going to be one of their last releases
mm-hmm.
Prior to the merging with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever get a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you should just make a standalone movie.
Exactly.
If they were to have made, if they were to go forward and make a sequel, I'd be there. I mean, I had a good enough time watching this movie that I wouldn't mind being re-immersed into the world. And I just want to see what the hell is up in Xalem.
I know.
I want to see a battle take place up there, because that's what I thought was going to happen. Much like Glass kept on alluding to, Tower.
We're gonna tower, and then we
never get to the freaking tower to have the
so
fight.
Frustrating.
So it frustrated me here too, because we're just left looking up at Xalem. I'm like, going.
I think that's,
we're not going, are we?
I think that's the point of the movie where I was just like, as much as I loved it, I was kind of over it in the sense that I was like, this movie was so good. Like, you guys had such a strong start. You have beautiful visuals. You have a great relationship between Alita and her father. But then you start adding in, okay, let's add in a romance here. Let's add in a bar fight. Oh, also, let's do this roller derby thing, because that makes sense for some reason, because we're in the 90s now and we're roller skating again. And then let's also, like, add in Xalem and then not see anyone and then I don't know. It was such a mess.
For me, it was not getting there.
It was very messy.
I didn't mind the rollerball
motorball
thing, but that's what it was
a little too long.
I thought it looked fantastic. I just again, everybody wants to go to Xalem, and we as an audience never like, we hear that it's supposed to be great.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it have been...
what's so great about Zalo?
What is so great about it? And maybe it's not... So, I don't read the comics, right?
Neither do I, but I have heard so from great. Someone who has read the manga. They said Zalem is not a great place either. Like, maybe. People aren't...
Well, no it's shit. Good.
It's not... like, it's not an ideal place. Like, everyone wants to go to Zalem, but the actual... It's like the Hunger Games. Everyone wants to go to the capital, but the people are actually pure shit, mm-hmm. you know? So, and right. it's kind of like this undesirable place that everyone wants to be, but is it because of, like, because you just want status quo, right. or do you want a certain lifestyle? Right. And like, everyone wants to go to Zalem because that's what they're trained, and they grew up thinking that's the better place than the place where we are right. now.
Maybe Alita so. Is from Zalem because of her past memories and, like, her fighting.
Is.
And
well, that she is. She was...
Unless they're misplaced memories.
She was flotsam. She was discarded for whatever the reasons... Yeah. were, and she was discarded. That's how Dr. Ito finds her in a trash heap, mm-hmm. of all places. So she was originally there.
Well, she was fighting
the
there.
The brain is from Zalem.
We don't know where she's... But, yeah. Yeah.
But, no. I mean, since she was fighting there, she has a... She should have a sense, unless she forgot what it was like up there.
Yeah.
I would
or
have
maybe
liked
there's
to have
distorted
seen.
Memories because of trauma. Who knows?
I just thought we were going to get...
some memories.
I thought we were just going to get a fight
yeah.
scene. In at least in Zalem, at least I mean, we got a victory, but I was hoping because of what was the other character?
Nova,
like, so we hear a lot about Nova. He shows up, Ed Norton. That must have surprised everyone. It surprised me. I was like, is that Ed Norton? What the hell?
It is, it was, and he actually came clean with an interview that he was supposed to work on another project with Rodriguez, and that got shelved, but Rodriguez, like, did a lot of meetings with Edward Norton and finally yeah. convinced him to do this, we can say, cameo,
yeah.
but hopefully building up for, you know, their sequel to really get into his character. But yes, it is an uncredited role from Edward Norton. My problem with this particular film, that I felt there were too many enemies, like too many antagonists, because I couldn't tell if Nova was the bad boy, or, like, granted he is the master, but the puppet master and all this working through Vector, but also Vector wasn't a good guy, Zapan no. wasn't a good guy, and Grishka wasn't a good guy. I'm like, who really is the main villain that we're supposed to be afraid of in this movie? There was just too many to follow.
Yeah, I mean. It's like you said, that Nova runs everything. We needed to get up to him, and that's why I thought there was going to be a confrontation, which we never got. You know, when you look at Vector, he's your main on-the-ground guy, but again, he's not in any battles or anything. Although, again, Mahershala Ali, yet another movie, I thought, a really fine performance again from him. I mean, he could be intimidating. That's what I love about the guy. He could play a cop.
Anything.
He could play almost anything, and he could be convincing in it.
That's the definition, like, of an actor.
Yeah. If they, well, but,
well, some,
you know,
get
some people,
cast a lot.
Yeah, but, like, he's an actor.
Right.
Yeah.
But some people can't pull off playing, or can't be intimidating playing a bad guy. He could be. With
I just
look.
To
I
be,
him.
You know, this is kind of nitpicky and specific, but the whole, like, blue colored contacts. Oh, I'm evil and I'm possessed now. I don't know. I didn't like that. It just felt a little tacky to me. Like, yeah. they have all these special effects. Like, I felt like they could have done something else. I don't know what. I just, like,
Mahershala, your special effect contacts.
Yeah,
it's gonna suck.
That's what I was thinking. I was just like, I don't like this special effect right now. This is kind of like bothersome.
It was enough to know that Nova was working through him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, it was just when Vector was Vector, I thought, yeah, he's pretty sleazy, intimidating. You don't want
right.
to be on the bad side of him. So, again, it was just, we never get up to Zalem for a confrontation, which would have been nice, I think. To your point, too, though, all those outside of Nova, all those other bad guys pretty much die. I mean, they die, but
like, we spend so much time on them too, right. Varishka and Zapan. And I'm like, and I just remember thinking, like, who really is the villain that we're supposed to be following?
Yeah, I you know, it's a great question. It would be either Vector or Nova. Because Mariska. Let's see. Who is the big
Jackie Earle Haley?
Jackie Earle Haley is that character. Now that is a pretty foreboding enemy. That's like a big boss in a video game.
I mean, they took him out, and then he got a bigger body. I'm like, oh crap! Don't mess with him.
In the fight scenes between he and Alita, I thought again, the use of slow motion in many movies becomes cliche. Like, you see it done a lot, especially particularly after The Matrix created, the Wachowskis created Bullet Time, right?
Yeah.
This movie, I was so thankful for it because the detail, especially in 3D, oh, the spiraling of those spikes coming out at her and her switching around, it literally gave you shit to cheer for. Like, you went, whoa, like she survived that. You know, and then the bounty hunter guy, he was just a dick. He was just a jerk.
He was self-involved, very narcissistic, and he loved his looks. So very egocentric in that way, too. Like vanity.
I love vanity.
Like his weakness was vanity.
When she took off his face, it was awesome.
It felt like Two-Face from,
a little bit.
But again, I go back to, because of the performance, because of Alita, I got immersed in those fights. I got immersed in the chase scenes or the action scenes. I wanted her to kick ass. And the one time
she did.
Oh my God. And it was great to watch. It was great to see her kick ass that way. It really, because everybody else is so seedy and bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cool thing is, and this is where the action really does work for Alita, because she defied gravity in that sense. No wicked pun intended. But then, like, to have the cyborg body that was trained to do martial arts and just a fighting technique that was literally trained against 0G gravity, It's just believable that the cyborg could do physical things that the regular human body couldn't.
As a battle angel.
And I was all for that.
Yeah, same here.
And plus, I'm partial to martial arts, too.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's always awesome to see the smaller, unlikely candidate, the underdog, you can say, beat people's asses the way she did. When she took out Grishka's arm the first time, I'm like,
didn't you? Go, again, girl. Right? I mean, that's why, for me, the movie, like, above and beyond, like, worked. It was because of the character, because of rooting for the character, wanted her to win. The other stuff, it's there. I can't argue against the flaws of this film because they're so blatantly there.
Right.
I somewhat forgive them. And that's why, like, it's like, I can't give this. This is not a great picture, but I thought it was very good. And I followed Alita, and I believed in her. And it wasn't just, it wasn't just her eyes, too. It was the way that she would either talk, leave her mouth open, whether it be pouting or whatever expression they gave her,
mm-hmm.
or that Salazar did on her own to give to the character, I thought really worked. I mean, I bought into the entire body language mm-hmm. of the character.
And I believed a teenage girl. When she wasn't fighting, I believed a teenage girl who would be going through, like, different types of conflicted emotions. Like when you saw that rebellious teenager when she broke her curfew talking to her father.
Right.
And then, like, giving her heart to this boy she hardly knows. I'm like, oh, you're such a teenage girl.
But then
when she's fighting against guys and all these people trying to kill her in the motorball game, I'm like, she's completely a warrior, you know?
So that angel thing kicks in.
Yeah, the fight or flight response, like, she definitely had the fight. And especially that the whole line is like, you're drawn to conflict. I'm like, she is.
Mm-hmm.
She creates conflict just to fight. And I was for that, too. So, like, I believed these two different type of personalities that she had.
I bought it.
It was cool.
And the
whole eyes thing, I know, Mina, you mentioned it, but a lot of people questioned mm-hmm. the big eyes, too, because I questioned it myself. But even James Cameron himself said that he always believes the eyes are the windows to the soul.
Sure.
That's why he wanted to keep the bigger eyes in, like, manga and Asian, like, that Asian culture. But keep bigger eyes because it's more vulnerable than that. You can see that she has a kind soul.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so hence the reason, the big eyes.
Yeah. And the character purported a kind soul.
Yeah.
There was definitely a kindness two were at the same time of becoming aware and learning. There was a naivete about her and learning. And again, if to give the relationship any semblance of credibility at all, it's learning who to give your heart to. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's very sweet of a scene that was. And to me, it was a very sweet scene for her to do. And if I don't know how closely, like in 3D, like to see the heart beating and stuff, I was like going, oh my God, like the special effects in the movie were tremendous. Especially from a layered perspective.
I just kept thinking, I was like, put it away.
It's your heart. It's like, oh my God.
And I'm like, oh no, because we had like maybe 20 minutes before. If you don't have a heart, you're dead.
And she's like, yeah, here you go. Yeah, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, talk about like being put in a very vulnerable position and what she was willing to do. So I found the sentiment very sweet.
I love their self-awareness, too. Like, yeah. That was intense. I'm like, yeah.
That was intense.
Yeah. You got me.
I feel like as long as Christoph Waltz's character is alive, Alita will never die. Because he's just going to constantly repair her. Like, her consciousness is never going to go away. That's why I was just like, is she going to be an immortal character? Is she immortal in the manga? I don't know.
Right. Can the Berserker body, I'm sure it's a warrior body, but like, can the Berserker body get as distorted as the first body? That first
I don't know.
Because I want to see more features and functions of the Berserker body. Yeah, we saw some.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to see more.
Me too.
That body was an upgrade. I'm like, let's see everything.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, me too. And that would be another reason why I'd go back for a sequel. And again, you know, we have to talk, too, about the visuals. Like, the visuals of this movie... Again, we're becoming from a cinematic world, we've gotten used to motion performance now. It's used, Ready Player One, which we talked about not too long ago, relies on it. And again, if it doesn't work, but that had a very specific look. These avatars had to look like a video game. Mm-hmm. You still bought it. I'm to the point now where I do call it, instead of motion capture, to me now it is motion performance. Because if the performance of the actor doesn't work, you can't gloss that over. A camera can't cover up a bad performance.
Yeah.
No matter what you do to it.
But her performance would have shown more had she not had all of the CGI, the dots on her face
I don't agree. I think her performance was amazing. And I think we're getting to a point where someday, I don't know, but someday an actor may be nominated for a performance by being a motion performance talent or something. Because I think the Planet of the Apes movies would not work if you do not believe in Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe in Andy Serkis's Caesar, but he gives, no matter what, a digital thing or a digital pen or whatever they use for pixels to make hair, he gives the emotion.
Yeah.
You know, and he looks like Caesar.
Right.
She gives the emotion.
She does. I'm saying she was a great actress. Yeah, I'm saying she would have shown brighter had they gotten rid of the CGI and you could really see her performance, her facial expressions, so that you could distinguish, okay, what's her versus what's being added to with the CGI. How much
really
of it?
Not much, because, again, in this side-by-side, this behind the scenes, they had a side-by-side.
And it's the same, except for the eyes.
Her face is just covered in dots. Like,
she's still emoting.
Correct.
And I've seen Rosa Salazar in other works. Like, she had a big storyline in NBC's Parenthood, which is a fantastic show. And like, she broke my heart. And, like, because she's just such a great actress. And she's young. She's, like, our age. What the hell? And,
yeah.
And
she's 33 years old, yeah, July 16th.
She's talented. She's a talented actress in and of herself. And then, now to translate it, we had to throw visual effects on her. Because, really, the only thing she couldn't pull off are all those zero-G movements that the character Alita could do.
And a lot of that stuff, like I said, she did do a lot more stunts than you might think, especially in the bar sequence. And she was being elevated, and she had to carry a lot of the physical aspects of that movie.
And she trained martial arts
too. Yeah, and so I give her a lot of credit, and I really do. And again, I think motion performance, as we get on through the years, maybe someday an Andy Serkis type may end up being nominated. I don't see a reason why not. Because if you can bring a character to life, then, you know, it goes a little bit above and beyond just giving a voice talent. Voice talent is fine. You know, all those Disney animated movies is great. But from a motion performance where she's doing it and she's emoting and you believe in Alita, you believe in Caesar, that to me says a lot of something. Because the wrong actor, you're not going to believe it, no matter what special effect they put around you. So I think we're getting there. And I think audiences are becoming a little bit more acceptable of it. That's just me.
Yeah,
so we want to talk about, we were talking about legacy and sequel. Look, I would love to see a sequel. However,
I don't want to be Alita. Forced to see a sequel. You know, I would want like the first film to be solid and fun enough, which this one is.
Yeah.
But this one like literally spoon fed us. Now you have to watch the sequel.
Yeah. Just like, tell us what's all. Want a solid, tell us why you want to get film. There. You don't have to say every little thing, but why are you having flashbacks? Why were you a warrior in your past life? Like, just some more backstory, you know? Don't just add in all these flashbacks and then not explain a little bit more. I mean, I know you argued that with Glass there was too much exposition. Here, there was not enough exposition.
Well, no, and it's not that I'm disagreeing. Like, I think it's a fatal cinematic sin to leave your first movie so open-ended. Like, I think this is a good example. So the original Star Wars, right? If we never got any other Star Wars movies after it, the movie still did have a beginning and a middle and an end. Yes, Darth Vader flies away. That's fine. But they blew up the Death Star. That was the mission of the movie.
Self-contained.
It was self-contained.
Spoiler alert.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
Folks, if at this time you haven't watched the original Star Wars.
Go away. We are not friends.
So, no. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, but then again, but then you go to Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Which isn't a complete movie. That movie ends on a cliffhanger. I mean, it's incomplete. You shouldn't start your first movie off incomplete. You should tie up all the things. And
unless
we hear about Nova, but we never meet Nova.
Yeah.
And we're thinking we're going to get a battle.
Right. But we're also in a world of Hollywood where everyone loves the F word. Franchise.
But now I get it. And they could have and they could have had it.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, well,
when we
have
Rodriguez and James Cameron at the helm. I mean, James Cameron with Avatar, Rodriguez with Sin City, and his whole El Mariachi, and
Mariachi,
you know, like, his first three films were basically Planet Terror. Like, these directors that are attached to it, they're known for franchises. So
absolutely.
It makes sense that they would set this one up for a potential franchise.
Make a really good first movie. But the other thing that a franchise relies on is really good returns at the box office, which sadly, Alita didn't quite it underperformed, to say the least.
Maybe don't put in $200 million into a movie. Like, maybe just like cut it down a little bit. Come on.
Yeah, well, but again,
but it really didn't have anything against it, so it really doesn't have an excuse.
It was it wasn't at the fault of. Listen, it wasn't at the fault of 20th Century Fox distribution. I'll tell you that, and or marketing. This movie was supposed to come out in the Christmas. It was supposed to come out in December.
It would have done so much better, I think.
No, it would have done worse.
Yeah. You think it would have done worse?
There were so many movies that came out.
So many that
movies.
That time, it
That's
would
when
have
everyone
been...
goes to the movies, though. It's a family movie. It's PG-13.
Yeah, but
there's blue blood instead of red blood.
Yeah, but you already had Mary Poppins. Had, what was the animated movie? Like, you had a boatload of movies. I mean, some movies ended up getting lost in the shuffle as it was. Because of there were so many movies coming out for the Christmas holiday. Taking it out and putting it into a time where there was nothing coming out, really. like around, you know, you had it coming out on.
Okay, we had Spider-Man, we had Aquaman, we had Bumblebee, Vice, Mary Poppins, Dan and Ollie on the Basis of Sex, and Capernaum. Yeah. All came out.
So I forgot about Bumblebee.
Yeah, and these
they
are all
came out Christmas.
Yeah,
and
all of
between
those.
Bumblebee, Aquaman,
Aquaman. Alita, it would have been hard against Aquaman.
Yeah,
I think it
would have been
Camelot. Like Christmas week,
yeah,
right.
Basically.
So the week they picked, I thought, was solid. It's counter-programming.
Valentine's
Day. It's you got, yeah, and you're leading into, you're going into a long weekend as well.
Mm-hmm.
And on the East Coast.
Oh, President's Day.
President's Day on the East Coast. Many, many have February vacation. So a lot of schools are off.
What was the downfall then? How come it didn't get those numbers?
Well, number one, the tracking was extremely
off.
I mean, but tracking was off. I mean, I blame tracking. Because tracking had it at 55 million going into the week.
Mm-hmm.
To be so off. Like when your indicators are, if you have something hooked up as a diagnostic in your computer and it tells you your computer is running great, you're doing really well, and as soon as you unplug it, you go home, your computer dies.
Yeah.
Something was wrong with that, right?
Right.
Something was wrong with the diagnostics of figuring out how this movie was going to do. And it wasn't just Alita that week. It was every movie that came out.
Yeah, it was the lowest performing.
What happened?
Lowest performing President's Day weekend in history.
Is it because, I mean, you would think that if it's raining so hard, everyone wants to go to the movies. But now with Netflix and
not
Amazon
in LA.
Prime.
No. Marissa, you said it. Not in LA.
Not in
this
LA.
Is not the East Coast.
Trust me, when you have movies available via Netflix or Hulu or Amazon, whatever, on your, trust me,
services.
You're going to stay home.
But in granite, though, I mean, there were some snowstorms that were going from the Midwest into the East, but they weren't shutting a lot of movie theaters down.
Do
There's
you think
no explanation.
They,
I don't know.
Well, I know we have to
go
wrap
ahead.
Quick.
Yeah.
But, like, do you think that they projected bigger numbers because James Cameron's name was attached to it, and they ran those numbers compared to his past films?
That's a part
that's
of
a
it.
Good point.
But that's not necessarily how tracking works. That's like a small faction of what goes into tracking, but there are other data points of awareness levels. Why are you going to go see this movie? And these are the numbers that they got. Now, it's opening weekend. It did come in at number one. It was at almost 4,000 screens, 3,700. Let's say 3,800.
That's a wide release.
That's extremely wide. You were in premium theaters. It opened up number one at only 28 million. It didn't even do like it, and it was projected to do 50 to 55.
It's crazy.
50 to 55, and you pull in 28. Now,
about half.
That's miserable.
If that.
I mean, if a studio is relying on these numbers and you come in to so underperform, it's hard to second guess at that point. Because you're being told one thing, you're being led to believe something, and then when you come in that Monday morning, you're like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you, it's hard to blame. But total domestic, 47 million. And, you know, we're not going into easier times. Like, we've got How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, and that's going to be number one next.
It's got to be number one. And not only
I've
that.
Seen it, it's fantastic.
Same here. And that's going to sting Fox because How to Train Your Dragon 2 was a Fox feature, if I remember correctly. That was Fox.
Yes.
And this one's Universal.
How to Train Your Dragon's DreamWorks.
Yeah, but Universal released. And I think Fox released the second one, I think. Well, somebody can check me on that, please.
But also How to Train Your Dragon for the kids. It's a family film.
Yeah.
And they're all, each film of that franchise, self-contained.
That movie could do up to 40 million, and Alita's going to drop. It's going to drop substantially.
Yeah, numbers always drop the second number.
And then, but foreign now, foreign Alita's done $103 million, almost $104.
Mm-hmm.
68% of its gross has come from foreign territories, and they just opened it up in China. So, listen, if there is going to be a sequel, root for that foreign, root for the foreign monies to come in and they'll make a sequel. But the other thing that's going to hang in the balance for Alita Battle Angel, sadly, will Disney decide to make a sequel? Because it'll be out of Fox's hands.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's if Disney decides to go forward or not. So
it might make it even better, though. I think it could make it better.
Yeah. But the only thing that's really keeping the numbers going for this movie is all the other territories that actually know the story.
Yes.
That actually knows manga.
There's that, we don't. Too. Yeah.
We're America.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that helps. I mean,
there's
that
a lot
helps.
Of people in America that know it, but, like, trust me, it's going to do way better in Asia compared to us.
Yeah, and so, you know, we shall see what happens going forward. It's too bad. I don't think the movie deserved such a fateful death, like box office death. It's not that. I've seen a hell of a lot worse movies. Let's be honest. I think we all have. Yeah. This one isn't really one of them. We'll see what happens. So, final thoughts. We can wrap things up. I think we talked legacy. We talked a little bit production. We really talked about the plot points.
It's a fun movie. Action galore, and it's awesome. Like, the action, I'll give it for the action. I wouldn't be surprised if this was nominated for visual effects and editing for next year's Academy Awards, because it's definitely up there in production value. Storyline could be stronger, but I would definitely see a second if they make it.
It's a great summer blockbuster movie. It didn't feel like, you know, February would be the time for this, but that being said, it was entertaining. It was fun, like I said. Great action. But just if they just took out a few of the plot points towards the end, it could have been solid. Even if they ended it with us not knowing what Zalem was, but they took out like all these other like subplots, I think it would have been much, much stronger. I don't think it's about us not knowing Zalem. I think it's about introducing too many topics too late in the story. You either introduce it little by little earlier and then resolve it one by one, or you just don't introduce it.
Yeah, for me, part of it was not getting up to Zalem, since that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, for me, look, the movie is not without its flaws, but it is a spectacular spectacle. If you've seen the movie and you're joining us, go back and watch it in 3D. If you are fortunate enough to have
3D Dolby.
3D Dolby.
Yeah, it'll
make your seats rumble so much, and it doesn't have butt so kicker.
The motorball scene is ridiculous. Oh, like, you felt like you're actually going to get killed.
Yeah, I felt it in my spleen.
I can see that as its own roller coaster ride.
Oh my God.
Or something.
So in any case, we're going to wrap up this Anatomy of a Movie. Next week, we will be talking about
How to Train Your Dragon 3,
which wraps up that trilogy. Can't wait to talk about that. We'll also maybe be able to talk, we just did our Oscar show, so if you didn't catch that, tune into that, because we do a deep dive into predictions, what we want, what we think is going to do. It was a really great show hosted by Marissa here. So we got that. We'll see you next week. Please keep going to the movies. Keep supporting the cinematic experience. We'll talk to you folks later. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.